Hawaii people love seafood, but it might be easy to forget the value of fishing in Hawaii's whole food system. The Longline Fishing Association says it's the largest protein-producing food industry in Hawaii, with an extensive network of producers, suppliers, and distributors all across the island chain. We usually don't think too much about how exactly that poke gets to our plate, but Eric Kingma, executive director of the Hawaii Longline Association, says it's important to remember fishermen actually travel hundreds of miles to pull those ahi out of the open ocean.
Fishing is inherently a risky business, so every time a vessel, whether it's a small-scale trolling vessel, weekend warrior, or even a larger-scale commercial vessel, every time that trip is put together and leaves the dock or the boat ramp, it's expensive, so it involves planning. So for our vessels, they're fairly large, about 75 feet to almost 100 feet. You know, before they leave the dock, they have to purchase bait, fuel, they have to purchase supplies and groceries. Their trip lengths are about, 2 weeks to 3 weeks. 5 to 6 crewmen on the boat. You know, it's serious work. They work long hours and they're very good at what they do. These vessels are fairly large, so they can go large distances away from Honolulu. So
how far?
A fishing vessel will fish between, 150 to 500 miles or even greater from Honolulu. And before they leave the dock, it's about a $35,000 expense just to go fishing for these large vessels. So they do have to catch the fish and return with as high as quality fish as they can to get that return on that fishing trip investment.
How many people would you say are involved in the industry?
Thousands. So just on the fishing side alone, there's around 1,000. And then you factor in the Honolulu auction, the seafood distribution companies. There's about, 8 to 10 large locally owned wholesale seafood distribution companies that have dozens of employees. They have facilities on each of the islands. And then when you get into the supply chain, the truck drivers, the getting it into restaurants, it's thousands of people that are directly and indirectly involved in this industry.
And how have the COVID-19, changes affected this business?
Well, it's been major, Noe. Since March 14th, we saw a major sort of decline crash in the seafood auction price. So, that day we saw, I remember it well, it was a Saturday, March 14th, we saw a reduction of 80% in the landed value overnight. And really that's because of the loss of the restaurants and sort of tourism associated sector.
Demand just dropped.
And what we've been finding out across the nation, is not just here locally with our seafood, is that most of the United States seafood production goes into the what we call food service or restaurant sector. Most people, don't really necessarily buy seafood and take it home and cook it. They rather do it at a restaurant, trained chefs, they know how to do it. So seafood is delicate, right? It's you kind of got to know how to cook it in order for it to get the best taste out of it. So nationally, this is being observed as well as locally. The food service sector of the supply chain is critical to fishing industries. When that was eliminated, the market really dropped. And since then, so for the past 8 weeks or so, we're at about a 60% loss in value. Our fishery is the number one food producing industry in Hawaii in terms of value. It's about $100 million at the dockside value. Most is staying in Hawaii, and then the next point is the U.S. mainland. And this is high quality, number one grade sashimi products for the tunas. And then also, we land several other species like opa, manchong, mahi mahi. All of these have high value and they're very tasty and they're also able to be marketed across the country.
What's happening? Are boats just not going out at all?
I was very concerned that most of our fleet would tie up and they did. So we had about 100 vessels tie up in Honolulu Harbor for 2 weeks. And then the market came up a little bit and vessels, they wanted to go fishing. It's making your choice. You either lose money at the dock, because even if you tie up, you're still paying crew. You got to pay to run the boat. I mean, it's not no cost, even when you tie up. and vessels began to fish again. But some of the larger vessels have continued to tie up because the price at auction is just too low. They're not going to make any profit. So smaller vessels have lower operating costs and can maybe make it at a more depressed market versus a larger vessel. So we are also, we tried to reduce the supply to meet the very weak market. So we're at about 70% of supply, and we're asking vessels to take shorter trips, have lower volumes on landing. And then also the auction is holding the daily volume at around 70% of historical levels. So we've voluntarily reduced to meet that very sort of weak market demand.
And I've been hearing about people just, you know, your regular average everyday retail person heading down to the docks in the morning.
Well, yeah, there's a couple of opportunities now that, you know, Fresh Island Fish is a vertically integrated company here locally. They have their vessels and they also supply various outlets with fish. And they've been doing their own sort of direct-to-consumer sales program. And it's been working pretty good. I think that is something they're going to continue. And it's a new opportunity to provide seafood to consumers directly. This model is being tested not only here locally, but other places in the United States about how do consumers access their food. So we're kind of getting into new models. No restaurant is going to be able, at least my understanding, to operate at 100% capacity. So those volumes are going to be reduced. And, you know, that still is going to have a major impact on our market. The outlook for our industry is not a good one. And so we are definitely interested in campaigns to promote, you know, more accessibility of our fish to local consumers, whether it's buy local campaigns or new methods to get fish products out to local residents.
So just buying it in the stores already is helping out?
Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, like any food product sold in retail stores across the state, our products compete with foreign-sourced seafood products, foreign imported tuna, for example, which is caught at much cheaper operating costs.
How can we tell if it's locally caught?
Well, there's a couple ways. One way is if the product, say the poke product that you're buying at the local supermarket says previously frozen, gas treated, that's all foreign import. There's no fishing enterprise here that is freezing their fish and gas treating it. So that's one way. You can tell then by the color as well. That sort of gassed product, it's much lighter pink as compared to sort of that deep crimson red when it's not frozen or gas treated. If you're buying, say, filet in a package, look at the label, and that label should also have the country of origin.
You know, we've got a stake in this. What is the most consumers could do?
What I'd like to see is more ability for Hawaii residents to access our fish at lower prices. You know, you can get our fish at the supermarkets at $25 a pound, but that's because that fish is competing against, at the auction level, about a fish going to the mainland and different restaurants. Well, if that is restricted, you know, maybe we can get more Hawaii fish to local consumers at a cheaper price, but also have the return onto the vessel side so we don't have to continue to tie up. Everyone in the supply chain has to make their margin, including the retailer. But I do think there is an opportunity here to provide more Hawaii fish to Hawaii consumers at cheaper prices.
We've been talking with Eric Kingma, executive director of the Hawaii Long Line Association. He says federal aid has been promised but not allocated, and assistance from the state has not yet materialized for this crucial link in our food system. But, Kingma says, Akule season's starting. Akule's starting to run.